Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help. You save.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's a point in every true crime story where the question stops being, what happened? And becomes, who is this person? We've talked about the mask, we've talked about the poison, we've talked about the daughter. Now we're standing in the wreckage of all of this case and asking what kind of human being orchestrated something this calculated, this layered, this cold, while projecting charm, charisma, and control. This is where the clinical lens comes into focus, because at some point we stop talking about the crime itself and start talking about the mind behind it. If James Craig did this, and remember, this conversation assumes guilt strictly for psychological insight, he is innocent till proven guilty. What does it tell us about who he is? What traits would drive this kind of betrayal? What disorders, personality structures, or belief systems could allow someone to not only do this, but justify it to themselves? Today, we're bringing it all together with licensed psychotherapist Siobhan Scott for a forensic-style analysis of Craig's psychological profile. If she had him on the couch, not as a judge, but as a clinician, what would she be looking for? What would she see? Do you see a classic narcissist, a psychopath, a broken man in free fall, or a cold operator who never had a conscience to begin with? Siobhan's also written this book, The Minds of Mass Killers, available wherever you get books. Worth a read! And she's got a good mind herself to help us dig into all of this. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not there already, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi on YouTube to find us there too. Join in the comments. Hit subscribe, though, wherever you're listening to us on the podcast platform, if that's where you're at. We're going to dig into the concept of narcissistic collapse here, the idea that when a person built entirely on image starts to lose control, they implode and take others with them. We'll explore grandiosity, fantasy thinking, and the need to curate reality at any cost. And if this sounds familiar, then listen. Because if there's somebody in your life that's doing this, it may be time to run. And we'll confront the uncontrollable idea that someone can be high-functioning in the world, but dangerously distorted beneath it. The wolves in white coats, as Siobhan calls them. This episode isn't about pointing fingers, it's about understanding patterns, because understanding them is how we protect ourselves, how we stop normalizing red flags just because someone looks the part. So if we put all the behaviors on the table, the murder, the method, the manipulation, what picture emerges? Let's find out. Let's talk about a little bit more about James Craig himself, theoretically. Okay. The accusations are there. Obviously, he's innocent until proven guilty. He comes sits down in your office. I'd like some help, Siobhan. How does that conversation go?
This is a hard one. Yeah, he would like some help. You've got to listen to the story that a person tells about their life. And I've sat with a lot of criminals, you know, in years past, not currently, but in years past. And they've all got a story of reality, what their reality is. And you let them tell it, you take notes, you listen very carefully, and then you start to highlight the inconsistencies, the things that don't add up and don't make sense. And you're very confused, and you voice your confusion about how exactly do you, you know, does A lead to B here, what you're seeing? Because I see some things that don't add up. And typically with a person like this, nothing is ever their fault. It's all just circumstances or misunderstandings, and always other people are out to get them and treating them unfairly. And that's what makes them so difficult to work with, because that version of reality tends to be pretty unshakable. But that's the only thing you can try to do is shake it and point out evidence. You know, that's one of the programs I worked in with people who had recently been arrested. We always got the police report, because if you just had them come in and tell you their story, they were victims always. And then you would get the copy of the police report and read it with them in a later visit. And you would get this whole different version of reality. And that's something you have to, over time, try to confront them with. And do they gain insight, or do they just hate the therapist who does that? You know, it's tricky work.
Because the inconsistencies with someone like that, I mean, they come from somewhere. And they're not always just made-up lies. Sometimes, right. I mean, they're coming from their prism of how they're interpreting
yes.
the world.
Yes.
And yes. unless that prism is changed, everything that comes in is going to be inconsistent. And then they're going to yeah. base their decisions in life on what that prism took in, which is this inconsistent way of looking at life, while others can look at it and go, this isn't right. Like, your thinking is mm-hmm. off. But they're mm-hmm. operating. That's the blueprint. That's what they're going off of. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, essentially, that just kind of just spirals, doesn't it, into this very wrong way of thinking, wrong way of interpreting 100%. Things. Wrong
That's
way
how you know you have, yeah. have a true personality disorder.
Yeah.
And really, the first clinical case I ever sat down with was a guy, this was in a drug abuse counseling program. The guy was on parole, and he had tried to purse snatch a handbag from a little old lady in her 80s or something, and he saw her as an easy target. But she didn't let go of the purse, and so he dragged her and ended up, you know, breaking her arm and her shoulder and, you know, almost killing her. So he went to prison. And so this was my first client. I was in my 20s as a young therapist, and he was a heroin addict and a really sketchy guy. And I'm just kind of going, oh my God, this is great. And so I just said, tell me the story. How did you end up there? How did this happen? What got you in jail? And his whole story, he was a victim. Mm-hmm. And if, bottom line, if she had just let go of the purse, none of it would have happened. It wasn't his fault. And it was just mind-boggling that he still believed this.
Yeah.
Did he make any progress in therapy? Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. He was just jumping through the hoops to be there. But, you know, I have clearly forgotten many of the people I've seen over 30 years. But that one will stick in my head as the first one. And it was, yeah, it was my introduction to criminal psychology right there.
Yeah. I mean, when someone thinks like that, and I think we all know people like that on a much smaller scale, not murderous scale or even criminals sometimes, but just, you know, nothing can ever be their fault. It's kryptonite if they're confronted with reality. reality, so they interpret things differently. Can you ever get in front of that prism, or is it just like, look, this prism is cracked? Like, if you go to the store, you go to the head shop. Hey, look at this prism over here, and let somebody hit it with a hammer. Like, you're not going to fix it. It is cracked. It will always be cracked. Is that just kind of the reality for some folks, that it is cracked, and it's going to take a lot of work for that person to ever even start to be able to see the colors out of this prism correctly because it's so broken?
Yeah. I like to hold hope.
Yeah.
But certainly for a lot of folks, no, the prism, as you say, is cracked and there's just no bringing them into a normal state of reality. I have seen sometimes, particularly in group therapy with multiple people in the group who have all committed crimes, who've all got some of these personality typologies, these disorders, can you make a bit of progress when they start calling each other out? And if you get somebody in a group like that who is coming back to a healthier way of looking at the world, and when they start confronting each other, so it's not just the therapist doing it, some seem to be able to shift. And so that's certainly something that we have the goal is, can you bust this criminal mindset and start to call it out in a way that they're held accountable? And if they're held accountable by a peer group, it may work a little bit better.
Could the James Craig case here be an example, again, if he's guilty, he's innocent until proven guilty, of a narcissistic collapse where everything is going wrong for him? I mean, his wife has called him out on the cheating. His partner at the office is like, why are you ordering cyanide left and right? And that's failing as well. He had to bring in this partner because his business was already failing. It's like everything was crumbling down on him at once. And, you know, sometimes when things crumble one way or there's a reaction this way that's strong, people kick back with the same amount of force or worse in the other direction. The fact that there were so many things going on over here in his life, like I just said, was murder the extreme kickback to that? If it had just been one thing, if the business had been failing alone and he hadn't been having affairs, or just one thing, would it have been a murder on the other end? Or was it just he was in such a horrible state over here that his only reaction was literally, you know, fight, and that meant murder of what he viewed as the person who would be the biggest hindrance to his future, his financial future, his emotional future, his reputation? That would have been his wife. And if he got rid of her, then maybe that will help him claw his way out of this collapse that's going on around him.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. He was desperate, and it had been, you know, one consequence after another. So what's in his mind, the easiest way out of this is just eliminate her and make it look like something that he had nothing to do with, and he could play the caring husband. And it's the act of a desperate psychopath.
He also ordered or attempted to order a hit on one of the detectives, and the lead detective in the case, offering $20,000. He was trying to talk with other prisoners about getting that hit carried out. The defense is denying it, saying, oh, no, that's all hearsay. There's no quite proof of that. But prisoners are just lying. And look, prisoners will lie. I get that. So I would hope they'd have a little more evidence than just hearsay on that. But I mean, this, if it's true, this sounds like a man who from behind bars is really mentally crumbling. The fact that he thinks that he can get the deep fake thing done with his daughter, that he can order a hit on the lead the lead detective, that he can get fake witnesses. I mean, is this someone who is already in, obviously, a very, is this a case more about a mental state collapse than it is about criminal conspiracy? And should that be looked at a little closer in this? Because this does not seem like a well human being.
It's a desperate human being with a very strange outlook on life who thinks he can control things. And really, if he would have the kind of collapse where he would go into a depression, where he would say, boy, I have really screwed up. Look at what I've done, and I've been caught, and I'm not the criminal genius that I've always thought I was, then there would be some hope for him. But this continuing, this bizarre, extreme behavior, it doesn't bode well for his mental health.
Yeah. From what I'm hearing, we have Eric Faddis is inside the courtroom covering this for us. It sounds like he's quite the confident man in court. He looks a lot more confident than the picture here next to me portrays. So he's still, you know, appears to be riding that horse all the way to the end. We'll see where it goes. So what's the diagnosis? Well, that's the haunting part, because Siobhan made clear this isn't someone whose behavior can be pinned down with a single label, nor can we diagnose somebody on a podcast. If James Craig is guilty, then what we're dealing with is a constellation of traits: narcissistic, antisocial, controlling, image-obsessed, wrapped in a personality structure that didn't just tolerate betrayal, required it. This is someone who allegedly poisoned his wife over time, not because he had to, but because it was clean, controlled, contained, because it allowed him to be both the killer and the caretaker. And then when it all fell apart, he allegedly tried to rewrite the story, not just in the court of public opinion, but through deepfakes and coercion. That's not just criminal thinking. That's pathological storytelling, where facts don't matter if they don't serve the ego. What we're left with isn't just a profile of James Craig. It's a profile of the kind of person who uses normalcy as camouflage, who thrives in positions of respect, who blends charm with cruelty so seamlessly that even their own children don't see it coming. And that's where the series lands, not just with outrage, but with insight. Because people like this don't always look like monsters. Sometimes they look like mentors, spouses, neighbors, doctors, dentists. Siobhan said something in this episode that sticks with me. Predators like this rely on disbelief. They count on the rest of us saying, but he seems so normal. And that's why understanding the psychology matters. Not to diagnose him afar, but to sharpen our instincts, to stop making and mistaking surface for substance, to recognize control when it hides behind kindness. Because the truth is, James Craig isn't just a story about what one man may have done. It's a story about how far someone can go when they've mastered the performance of innocence. And no one ever pulls back the curtain. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, be sure to just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find us on YouTube and join in our comments there. If you're on the podcast platforms, thank you. Be sure to hit subscribe, as you don't want to miss any of our coverage of this case and the many we got for you here at True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. My name's Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving non-stop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.